Today is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. The scripture lessons are from 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 1 through 14 and the gospel according to Luke chapter 17 verses 1 through 10. Today's message is titled, Let's Talk About Timothy. It is written in the Holy Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Here ends the first lesson, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning at verse 1. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are abound to come. But woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, Thou hast given us Thy Word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that Word and to follow its teaching, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There was a movie last year that had a hit song. A song about a character you don't see much and you don't talk about him. The song took off and it became a viral sensation. "We Don't Talk About Bruno" was the hit. The chorus is, "We don't talk about Bruno, no, 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 we don't talk about Bruno, but..." And the song concludes, "Don't talk about Bruno. Why did I talk about Bruno? Not a word about Bruno. I never should have brought up Bruno." Perhaps you've watched that movie and heard that song. Another movie earlier has a character that they don't talk about that movie either. Ferdinand. He meets three hedgehogs and asks their names. "I'm Uma. I'm Dos. Excuse me. I'm Una. I'm Dos. I'm Quattro." Ferdinand then asks, "What happened to Trace?" The three hedgehogs get bug-eyed, drop what's in their hands, and they bow their heads while making a cross. "We don't speak about Trace." I don't know if you saw that movie too, but that's hilarious. Well, spoiler alert, Bruno does show up. Trace does show up. But I don't seem to recall really ever talking or speaking much about Timothy these past several years. So let's make that right this morning. Let's talk about Timothy. Or at least begin to speak of this man of faith in Jesus Christ. Timothy's name is on two letters in the New Testament. He was not the writer, as the letters of Jude, Peter, James, and John bear the names of those who wrote them. Rather, Timothy is the recipient of the letters, following the pattern of naming of the letters of Paul. The letters are titled to the recipient's name. Paul wrote to both gathering of believers, such as at Rome, Corinth, Thessalonica, Galatia, Colossae, and Ephesus. And Paul also wrote to individuals, letter to Titus, a letter to Philemon, and two letters to Timothy. Timothy had a Greek father and a Jewish mother. Very likely, but not known with any certainty, Timothy heard the gospel on Paul's first journey, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul had traveled to Lystra in Asia Minor during his first journey with Barnabas and John Mark. And this is around 46 to 48 Anno Domini. Remember, Anno Domini means the year of the Lord. So around 46 to 48 in the year of the Lord. And that's where Timothy is from, Lystra. Timothy was said to have a sincere faith. Similar is present in his mother Eunice. Excuse me, his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. I mean, they had the faith in them. And so the faith was kindled in Timothy, kindled by them. He was said to have that sincere faith. It's written in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also." The Greek word translated as sincere literally means not hypocrite. Not hypocrite. Not a phony. Free from selfish motives, without hypocrisy. Hence, that sincere faith was in Timothy. This sincere faith was at home in Timothy. This faith has taken up a personal residence in Timothy, as it had been in his mother and grandmother too. So that's what it means to be reminded of sincere faith. It's taken up residence in Timothy. What is interesting If you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, you find out how this faith has taken up residency in Timothy, the faith that was in his mother and grandmother. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." From infancy, known the Scriptures. From the Greek, Timothy is described as a babe in arms, and the sacred writings were being made known to him. Timothy came to know the sacred writings, that is what we know as the Old Testament, Moses and the prophets. He came to know them as a babe in someone's arms. His mother's and grandmother's arms, it appears. And Timothy known them so well from his mother's and grandmother's instructions that Timothy was prepared, was made wise to hear and comprehend the gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. His mom and grandmother did this for Timothy. And in like manner, you do the same for your children and your grandchildren, and also those of you who have great-grandchildren. A little babe in your arms is worthy and old enough to hear the sacred scriptures. Tell them the stories from Moses and the prophets of the Old Testament, and also of the Messiah, the Christ of the New Testament. By instructing a little babe in your arms of Moses and the prophet in the Old Testament, you're preparing the heart to recognize the Messiah. And when the word comes, truly hear of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what happened in Timothy. He had been so instructed from an infant babe in his mom and grandmother's arms that when Paul came with the gospel of Jesus Christ and salvation, Timothy's ears were already prepared to hear of the Messiah. Eventually, Timothy would travel with Paul along with Silas on the second missionary journey. And through the years, Timothy would travel with Paul or be summoned by Paul to come and be with Paul. You see, Timothy through the years was mentored by Paul, so much so that Paul considered Timothy his son in the faith. From the New American Standard Bible, 1995 translation, it communicates the Greek a little better. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. This is from the NASB, 1995. "To Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." The word translated as son, it's better as child, for the Greek word is technon. Technon. What a technon is, it's a child living in willing dependence upon the parent. Technon. A child living in willing dependence. Such utter dependence upon the parent, mom or dad. Timothy was like this under Paul. He was a willing learner, utterly dependent upon Paul. As such, Timothy literally became Paul's child in the faith. Learning from Paul so much so, Timothy was Paul's spiritual offspring. What Paul had been teaching and proclaiming concerning salvation through faith in Jesus Christ was learned by Timothy and taken to heart. Timothy became so well versed that Paul would send Timothy when he himself could not go. Example, Paul sent Timothy to Corinth to be his representative with Paul's first letter to Corinth. It's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. "Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I am sending to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church." Timothy had become so much a protege of Paul that Paul is saying, those in Corinth, look at Timothy. You see Timothy and what he's doing. You see me and what I do. That's how much Timothy had become Paul's child in the faith. What Paul had been preaching and teaching and proclaiming now Timothy is sent as Paul's representative to do. And Paul expects Timothy to be welcomed in Corinth as he, Paul himself, would be welcomed. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning at verse 10. If Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should refuse to accept him. Send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. In other words, treat Timothy as you would treat me. I expect you to do that because Timothy is as if I am there with you. That's how Paul's writing to the church in Corinth. Paul expects Timothy to be welcomed and cared for as he himself. Paul even includes Timothy in the greeting of the second letter to the church in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia, even mentioning that along with himself. Do you notice, even mentioning along with himself, Paul, Silas, and Timothy also preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, amongst them in a manner like Paul. So the Corinthian church is reminded, Paul's preached, Timothy's preached, Silas is preached. That's how much Timothy has become that child of faith, spiritually of Paul. The letter to the Philippians begins. This is how Paul begins the letter to Philippians. And hear the difference. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. To all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. And then hoping to send Timothy to them soon, Paul writes about Timothy in Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. So now this greeting to Philippians, it says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ. And Paul says Timothy has proved himself as a son helping the father, a son serving with the father. Like in a father's business, the son learns the business. That's Timothy. He has now come up and he's going to send him. He shared in the work of the gospel to Philemon. Paul writes, Philemon 1, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. And so Timothy is now, you see how he is with Paul. Wow. And it even appears Timothy has one time been under arrest, has been arrested for a period of time. You find this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 23. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. So it appears Timothy has been arrested and in jail. We don't know who wrote Hebrews, but some use that sentence to say, you know, it's very likely Paul could have written Hebrews. Because he says Timothy and Paul together. I mean, so Paul's first letter to Timothy opens with these words, describing Timothy. To Timothy, my true son in the faith. That's the first letter Timothy opens. To Timothy, my true son in the faith. We see a deeply developed mentoring relationship of Paul guiding and raising up Timothy as a father and guides and raises up a son, such that Timothy becomes a fellow co-worker with Paul, sent in Paul's place, carrying Paul's letters, becoming like the right hand to Paul and also standing in for Paul. If Timothy shows up, it's just the same as Paul has come. That's what the letters say. That's how Timothy's to be received. When the second letter was written to Timothy, he's most likely by this time, that is Timothy, has been the overseer of the church in Ephesus for several years, growing as a pastor to them and leading them. After walking alongside Paul during the second and third missionary journeys, Timothy seems to have now settled in Ephesus. And at this time, Paul is in a dark, damp Roman prison cell in Rome, nearing death. The year is about 67 AD. About 67. Nero, the Roman emperor, is up the ante with his persecution of the Christians. This second letter to Timothy comes very soon before Paul's execution in Rome. And in this letter, it helps us see into Paul's heart when Paul knows death is coming soon. So these are words Paul wants to express to Timothy before he dies. Paul, suffering for being a herald of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This Timothy knows. And from traveling with Paul in the second and third missionary journeys and all that took place and the suffering they did, Timothy knows that ministry is difficult and will become more difficult. You've seen it in me. This is Paul sort of expressing it, Timothy. You've seen it in my life. You've seen me in change. You've seen me suffering. Don't be ashamed of this, Paul writes. Rather, join me in the suffering. How would you like to receive a letter like that? Join me in the suffering. You've seen me in chains, suffering. Join me in the suffering. And to that, Paul writes, don't give up. We find in 2 Timothy that letter, rather you fan the flame and continue in what Paul had shown him. For God has called them both by God's own purpose and grace in Christ Jesus. Paul is suffering for being a herald, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and a teacher too. So what does Paul recommend for Timothy? And it also recommends for us too. This is what we get from 2 Timothy. Fan into flame the gift of God, and live by the spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Not be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. But boldly proclaim the saving news of Jesus Christ the Savior. As it's written in 2 Timothy chapter 1, the second half of verse 10. Of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. As Paul was convinced of this reality and this truth, you be convinced too. Even in suffering, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Why was Paul not ashamed? And why did Paul not give up in the suffering and in the chains? This is why. Because Paul knows whom he believes. Paul knows who he has placed his trust in and his confidence. He is fully and completely persuaded that the Lord will carry to completion all the things according to the will of God. Paul knows he will receive all that is promised to him in Jesus Christ, for the deposit has been made. Though death is coming soon for Paul, Paul knows what the gospel Jesus Christ proclaims is absolutely true. And though death comes, Paul will see life. Paul will see life. With this reality in Paul's life, Paul desires this reality to be fully in Timothy's life. So Paul writes 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So let's put this together. In short, fan the flame of the gift of God in you and hold to the pattern of the sound teaching of the faith that has been passed on to you. Fan the flame. Fan the flame. Have you ever sat around a campfire and as the flames keep getting smaller and smaller, and eventually there's only coals there and no flames, no light, and the heat is dwindling away. And so you get up and you walk over. Maybe you pick up a hat. I like to pick up a hat. Well, if I had a Frisbee nearby, a Frisbee would work really well. And just moving back and forth, fanning that flame, and sometimes even blowing on them, fanning that flame, you bring those coals back to a bright flaming fire. That's what it means here, fan the flame. And it takes effort. Just looking at the coals, okay, coals, fan the flame. No, it takes you getting up and fanning them. So you, effort, fan the flame back. So the gift of God in you, with intentional effort, that gift comes aflame with great fire once again. So fan the flame. 2 Timothy verse 13. This is now in the Greek word order in English. The pattern retain of sound words, which from me you did hear in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. As Paul tells Timothy and us too, retain. That means hold, possess. Hold and possess. Pattern. The example, the form. Hold and possess the example and form of the words spoken. What this means, as Paul proclaims salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, Timothy, follow his example. Follow Paul's example, not changing, but retaining and holding on to what Paul had taught. What Paul taught you, you hold on to. And you go and teach others. As Paul nears death, Timothy, when I'm gone, keep to what I taught you of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Don't be tempted to change and add or subtract as those false teachers are doing around you. Remember all those false teachers that Paul has been correcting and rebuking in the other letters he wrote? Timothy, don't become like them. How not to become like them? Hold to what I taught you about salvation. That salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. I have been correcting and rebuking the others. Timothy, you hold to what I've been sharing. Those other letters, we know them as the pastoral letters of Paul. Essentially, what Paul is writing to Timothy and to you and I also. Timothy, be like me and keep the faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And never, never depart from these words of the faith. These sound words I spoke to you, Timothy, that is the faith that truly saves. As Paul said to Timothy, I remind you this day, the faith we proclaim as the church does not change. The faith we proclaim as the church does not change. The faith proclaimed is the same through all generations to the end of earthly time. Jesus Christ is the crucified and risen Son of God, paying in full the redeeming price for the sin of all humanity with his own precious blood. Repent and believe Jesus is the Christ, and you will be forgiven, and you will have life in his name. That is the gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Guard this truth of faith with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. That's what Paul also writes in 2 Timothy. Guard this truth of the faith with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. The faith is committed to each one of us, as it has been to previous generations, to be preserved and kept in its purity, and to be passed on to the next generation, preserved and kept pure. As Paul passed the faith on to Timothy, you, yes, you do the same. Each and every one of you who is hearing these words, each and every one of you here who is hearing these words this morning, you go and do the same. As Timothy's mother and grandmother filled Timothy with the sacred scripture as an infant, babe held in their arms, you fill your children, your grandchildren, and if you have them, great-grandchildren, with the sacred scriptures, so that one day the Lord will work through them as Timothy. as Paul mentored and guided and raised up Timothy to be like himself in the faith, each one of you pray to the Lord to lead you to one that you can mentor, guide, and raise up in the faith. That's what it means here in 2 Timothy. That's what it means here. What has taken place with Paul and Timothy and mother and grandmother raising up Timothy, we are to do the same. May this little talk about Timothy rekindle the faith in you, fanning into flames of faith such that you go and do likewise. Talk about Timothy. Become like Timothy. And raise up a Timothy to keep proclaiming the gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ when your earthly days come to a close and you receive the prize you have so longed for in Christ Jesus, eternal life with Him. May this little talk about Timothy forever change you by God's good grace. Amen. And amen.